We sit glued to the TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of...
Hello, and welcome to episode 89 of TV Times 3. I am Amory from MyTakeOnTV.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from TVholic.com. And this week we have...
Sandy from Demons TV at demonstv.com.
Yay! I feel like we need to get like sound effects because I clap all the time and I'm always like, yay! But it just sounds hollow. So yes, we have another guest. For Ray, who's, like we said, taking her sabbatical. So, Sandy, talk a little bit about the site, kind of where it started, how it started, blah, 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 all the goods.
Oh.
I threw this at her. I didn't prepare this. I didn't think about this for like five. I didn't think about this at all. And then Sandy's like, okay, so what's the process? Like, what's our structure? What are we going to talk about? And I said, oh, don't worry. I have the outline. It's what Jason emailed. It's going to be whatever we talked about. And here I am throwing something out that I did not tell her to talk about at all.
Oh, that's okay. I can talk about what we do. So for those of you who don't know, you know, Demons TV is a TV blog in which we cover the majority of scripted, you know, TV show episodes weekly. And we write reviews, photos, and previews, and all that sort of thing. So check it out.
Yes.
And thanks for having me.
And we'll have links on the site when this episode gets posted.
Yep. You'll know where to find her. So we're going to talk about some news. We actually have news. I feel like we haven't had much news in the past couple weeks, but things are starting to kind of get together. We're starting to hear more about things. In what feels like something that took forever to happen, but I have a feeling was actually being worked on in the background and the fans just thought it wasn't, Michael Rosenbaum has officially agreed to return as Lex Luthor in the Smallville series finale, which will air Friday, May 13th.
The funniest thing about that is that the day before, there was like a, you know, some site posted a big story that he wasn't coming back, and all the talk was, I can't believe he's not coming back, and then the next day the big story is, I'm coming back.
My really? Favorite thing, yeah. My favorite thing was, there was a, I hate to, you know, give Perez Hilton any credit, but, and not credit, but he put a story up literally the day before this was announced. And he's talking about how, you know, Michael, it's so ungrateful that he's not coming back. And, you know, the fans just want closure and all this stuff. And he ends it with, that's okay, Tom Welling is hotter. I'm like, really? That's your argument? Well, Tom Welling's hotter. So there, Michael Rosenbaum, there's the balls in your court. Like, that's not an argument.
That's not even the point. The point is he's Lex Luthor. Who cares if who's hotter? That's nothing to do with anything.
Like, really? That's your argument? Anyway. But like I said, I'm sure. Like, this isn't just something they were like, okay, they finally wore him down and he finally signed on.
Down, they probably offered a really good deal for him to come back.
Exactly.
You mean you don't think it was all that mass of fan feedback all the day before that just finally...
It wasn't the I hate you Michael Rosenbaum posts that were coming out. That didn't make him want to come back.
Was the final straw. He was like, oh, okay, fine. I'll come back.
I have to admit, I haven't really watched Smallville as much since Michael left. So, I mean, I'm it's kind of one of those things. I'm definitely tuning in for the finale just to see what they do. So,
I have been watching the show... I'm a few episodes behind, but I'm kind of happy that he's back because I feel it's just been not the same. You know, he brought a lot to the show, and I like the dynamic between Clark and Luther, Lex. So,
I mean, that's
so I'm really
too.
Excited for the finale.
Superman is Superman and Lex Luthor, and I just don't think it would have ever worked if Lex didn't come back. Like, sure, they have people working for Lex, and they have Luthor Corps always around, but Lex is Lex. Like, you have to have him there. So that's Smallville. In news 2-3 years ago that I would never have been excited about, I'm really excited now that FX has renewed The League for a third season. I don't know what it was, but I watched the pilot, I hated it, didn't watch season one, got season two to review, suddenly I was completely hooked, and I love this show. I don't know what happened between one and two.
I have the exact opposite sort of story. I loved season one. And then kind of, not that I didn't like season two, but I kind of faded and started not watching it anymore. So I don't even know what happened. But I'm happy that it was renewed because I'll definitely watch season three. But for some reason, kind of faded out of season two. I was like,
I have season one on DVD that I should go back and watch. I say I'm going to. There's like 12 shows now that I've promised I'm going to go back and catch up on. So yeah, I mean, I have. Okay.
I'm in an even different place than either of you. I watched the first couple episodes of the first season and didn't like it, and so didn't watch the rest of season one, and then got season two and watched the first couple episodes of it and still didn't like it.
So, well,
didn't watch season two either.
Well, so Jason, tell us how you feel about
it. I'm out there to watch both seasons because I feel like there's not. But yeah, so we're excited about that. I'm sure it'll be on Thursdays. I'm sure it'll be with It's Always Sunny. They kind of go well together.
They do.
God, I can't wait for It's Always Sunny to come back. Anyway, and our last little bit of news, Sci-Fi has set a premiere date for Marcel's Quantum Kitchen for Tuesday, March 22nd. And I'm excited for it because I really like Marcel, no matter how they paint him on Top Chef or how he, I don't know, the word I want to use is or how he portrays himself on Top Chef. I think he knows he's going to get camera time if he's a super jerk. I'm excited for the show.
I wanted to talk about it because we got to taste some of that.
Yeah, we
got it's so
kitchen
funny.
Stuff.
I got to eat food that a Top Chef made. Like, it was so exciting.
Yes, Harry Potter themed, even.
Yes.
I know. Exactly. I'm still like, I still want to try that dragon breath again. I just thought that was so
I know, that was so
cool.
Exciting.
So I watched, that's why I was like,
they were eating something with liquid nitrogen on Top Chef this week, and everybody was exhaling, and it was all like, the smoke, and I was like, oh, memories. I've done that. I've eaten food like that. But yeah, I would totally eat anything that he made again. I loved it all. So, Marcel. And I don't know, has it actually been decided what the show is going to be? Like, I know he told us he kind of thought it would be parties, but did the press release or anything say what he'd actually be doing?
That's a good question. I don't know. It was just a reality series, you know, when you just kind of follow him cooking some weird stuff, but I don't know if they are gonna include him actually preparing the food for people. I don't know.
Well, we'll have to, you know where to find the news online if you need to, because we don't know.
I'm sure they'll say more about what the show actually will be leading up to.
Yeah, I mean, to get people interested, I'm sure they're gonna want to know what it's about, because Marcel is such a polarizing character that I feel like you need to draw them in.
I just think the whole idea of a cooking show on Sci-Fi just is funny to me anyways, but
It's not just cooking, it's, you know, quantum cooking.
Making liquid into a sphere, which was incredible. So that's our news, and we don't have TV on DVD this week because nothing thrilling is really coming out that we need to go out and buy. So now it's time for prime time, which there's a lot that we have to talk about because there was a lot on TV this week, and I am still not caught. I mean, these are the shows I'm caught up on. I have like 40 shows that I'm not caught up on. So our first show is How I Met Your Mother, season 4, episode 15, Oh Honey, with guest star Katy Perry, who, parentheses, I thought did just fine at the Grammys and was better than Rihanna, but whatever. I don't watch How I Met Your Mother, so go ahead.
I think it fell into that normal category of when they have like this type of guest star on the show. She was okay in what they gave her to do, but really the story was about Ted and Zoe. And so what do you think about that, you know, where they've gone with that?
I love the episode just because it was a long time coming, and just the way they weaved in the declaration of their love for each other, or their that they liked each other. Katy Perry was fine. I think she did as good as she could have done with what the part was. And yeah, I think How I Met Your Mother goes in and out, but this was a strong episode for me. And lately it's been doing pretty good.
Yeah, I think the last few episodes have been good. And this is just another one of those episodes that they're really good at telling stories in interesting ways. And the phone bit, you know, going, calling, and then somebody else telling part of the story, and Marshall getting, you know, the full picture. They just do a really good job with those interesting, you know, storytelling styles that, you know, they mess around with. And this episode and what it was about, it really worked with where the episode ends. And the last few episodes have been really good, I think.
I agree. Yeah.
Except for the sort of countdown thing was sort of silly, but in that type of episode. But I think it's added an extra, I don't know, a little more gravity to the show to sort of ground it a little bit more again.
So Zoe, she's not the mom, right?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Okay. Yeah. I don't know either. I'm like speculating that she isn't because there's so many, like, they've already established that, like, Rachel Bilson was her roommate and blah, 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 blah. Are fans still watching? Like, do they care who the mother is? Or, like, do you guys care who the mother is? Or is it weird that we're going to have to maybe sit through another Ted long relationship? And I don't know. These are the kind of the reasons that, like, I gave up.
Well, to me, it's, if once you find a mother, to me, the show probably will end.
Mm-hmm.
Or will have to end within maybe that season, because where do you go? I mean, once he's met the mother, yeah, you can have a few fun episodes, but then isn't the point of How I Met Your Mother? And then once you meet the mother, right, then the show is kind of over. So for now, I guess it's okay. I guess the biggest problem would be if you actually really liked one of his other relationship,
right,
and then it didn't end up being the mother, and you'd be like, oh, well, that's too bad, because that would have been great.
I still wish Ashley Williams had never left, like, from season one. Because I love her, and I really could have seen her being the mother, and that would have been awesome, but I don't know. I'm sure I'll be the one of the person, like, one of those people that tunes back in, find out, this Monday, we find out who the mother is. Like, that's going to be me watching, finally.
You totally should, yeah.
I mean, I go back again, now and again. I watch the funeral episode, and I'm surprised I didn't watch the Katy Perry episode, just because I do enjoy her, but oh well. Well, I'll check back in now and then. So that's How I Met Your Mother. Another Monday show, Being Human, Season 1, Episode 4. Wouldn't It Be Nice, parentheses, If We Were Human, end parentheses. I kind of love this show.
Me too.
And I'm like, everything I read online, people are saying, like, oh, it's nothing like the original. I've never seen the original, so I have nothing to compare it to, but I'm just enjoying.
You're lucky.
Do you not like the original, Jason?
No. I like the original so much that it's hard for me to get into this one.
Really?
Yeah, it's just, I've said it before on the podcast, but somehow I got in my head that they were taking these characters, but they were going to do something different with them. You know, like the show was going to be much more different than it is. And things like changing chicken to rump roast, you know, is not the type of change I was, you know, I was
thinking. How much change can there really be, though, when your three main characters are a vampire, a werewolf, and a ghost? Like,
you can create a different story for them, but everything, while it's not coming at the same time or exactly the same way, everything's pretty much the same so far.
I feel it's different. I actually, for me, I enjoy it so much because I feel like I'm watching something different than the original. Sure, there are some storylines that are pretty similar, and I think they're going in the same direction overall, but I feel like they're their own separate shows, and I can enjoy them separately, and the actors are different. I think they made the characters their own, and I don't think when I watch Josh, I don't think, oh, yeah, it's George. I feel like the actor, is it Sam? Huntington,
the werewolf. Yeah,
he's great.
And yeah,
as someone who loved the original character, I think he's great. That said, I still love the original better because it's the original. I just love it. But I love Monday Nights because of Being Human, and I think Sci-Fi did a great job with the remake. But that's just my take on it. But
and I think too, it helps that I've seen the actors together, and I've seen, and I know that the chemistry is 100% real. Like, these three people in the show get along so well because these three people in real life get along so well. And that's not always the case, and it just kind of makes me more interested in the show. So I'm more invested, and I really want to like it, so I'm glad that it's impressing me so that I do like it. Like, I would be so upset if I didn't.
Yeah, you should watch the original, though, if you like it.
I have it on my Netflix, but I'm doing a S.H.I.E.L.D. rewatch right now.
Right.
Even though I've seen every episode like 12 times, but I kind of have to finish that. And then I'm going back to Being Human, which is actually right after the S.H.I.E.L.D. season 7 on my list. So I will. And I don't know. I'm going to keep enjoying it.
It'll be interesting to hear then what it was like for you to watch this one first.
Oh, sure.
And then see the original after. Because I think the other thing is that I watched the first season of the original, like, right before. So there was, like, no time between watching those episodes and watching these episodes. And so it just all, well, at least the first three episodes that we got as screeners, you know, I watched the first six episode season of that, and then, like, right after, like, in the same weekend, pretty much, watched the first three episodes, and it was just like, oh, it's all the, I could see everything that was the same much clearer. It stuck out, you know, that type of stuff stuck out to me because I had that information fresh in my head.
Yeah. Maybe if there was more of a removal of time, or, like, time and space difference, you'd be less, maybe, against the U.S. version? Not that you're against it.
Yeah,
I'm not really against it. I mean, I like it. It just...
But you just don't like it as much.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's just...
Or you wanted more or wanted different or something.
Yeah, it's too familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
See, like, I didn't really have that problem with Shameless, because I... Until I went and watched an episode of Shameless after.
Right.
You know, so I saw the Showtime version first. And so I think it's... Because that whole idea to me, we've talked about it before, that you redo a show or you make another version of a show, but yet you're not really. You know, you're just sort of reusing a lot of what you've already done. And I don't really get that on sort of a creative level, considering in the case of this that some of the people behind the original are behind this, you know, are working with doing this. And so...
I don't know.
That just, to me, just seems like a waste to me. I don't know. I think if you're going to redo it, you should do something different with it.
I think it depends, because you're trying to attract an audience that wouldn't watch the original in the first place. So if the original is already great, you have to, I think you have to take some of the elements and maybe make it your own. But I think Being Human is doing a good job of that. But then again, maybe watching season one right before. That's true. I was already on season two and kind of waiting for season three, so I was at a different place in the show, in the original show. Maybe that was why I enjoyed the sci-fi version better. I don't know.
Yeah, I am. And it's kind of like The Office. I think of The Office because The Office was so similar in the beginning and a lot of people took away from it, but I still enjoyed it. And look at what it's been able to do. So I think we need to get past the first couple episodes and kind of see what Anna and Jeremy can do with it. And I think that I hope that they are able to erase, like, any doubt.
I'm hoping it diverges, because we're all sounding like American Idol judges. Like, you need to make it your own.
Make it your own. Yeah.
The original.
They're not making it your own.
Nothing is original anymore.
Yes,
swear.
If you're going to sing Whitney, you must.
Oh, good Lord.
Okay.
Moving on to the reason I'm looking forward to Mondays now is the Chicago Code, Season 1, Episode 1, Pilot. There's something about Jason Clarke that I am so in love with, want to be best friends with, just feel like I could hang out with him, and also at the same time, I'm totally afraid of this cop. I just love him, and I love Jennifer Beals. I think they did a fantastic job with, sure, some of the voiceovers are a little kitschy, and having everybody in the cast say something in one episode is kind of overwhelming, especially for a pilot, but Glee does it, and nobody complains as much about that. I don't know, I just really enjoy it.
I want to ask you guys something, because I don't watch... I mean, I watched the screener, the very first that they did, and I'm guessing the new pilot is probably a little different, but I didn't really get into it. So why do you love it so much? What was it? Like, try to convince me to watch it.
All I ever say is I just love Jason Clarke. No. It helps for me that I know it's from Sean Ryan, and I love The Shield so much because the writing is gritty and sharp, and they don't really cut corners. A lot of what I've seen coming up so far in the next couple episodes, they kind of shock you, and especially the end of this first episode, where I actually read the script before I saw the pilot, and so I knew that the, spoiler alert, death of what we thought was going to be a major character was right in the pilot. And to me, the fact that right away they build you up, you get to know these characters, you learn about this guy, and then he's gone. So they're not afraid to throw a punch or really hit you where it hurts to get a point across, to show that life isn't perfect, that Chicago PD has all these troubles. And I think that the acting, I just really enjoy Jennifer Beals. I really enjoy Jason Clarke. I think they had great chemistry. And for me, it's knowing the people involved It was a little kitschy in the beginning, like I said. Like, some of the dialogue was a little clunky, but I can forgive that because I know what they've been able to do in the past. So for me, it's about what they've done before, combining into what I thought was a really solid hour.
I think it's really good. I think the cast, I think they did really good casting.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to work pretty well together just right off in the first episode. Yeah, like you said, I think Jason Clarke and Jennifer Beals work really well off of each other in the way that they've set up his character and what type of unit, you know, sort of he's in control of, or investigation right. He's in control of. But to me, I like the whole backstory, overarching story of going after corruption in politics, the police department, you know, everywhere, and trying to change the way Chicago works. The multiple character voiceovers, though, is really... because they're in the second episode, so I'm guessing I'm going to have to get used to them. But they kind of sort of pull you out of it.
Do they pull you out of Glee? Like, I'm just playing devil's advocate. When, like in this week's episode, which we talk about next, did having four or five bother you there? Or is it something specifically about
Glee is just all characters? Over the place anyways. so it didn't really, you know, it doesn't really not fit. Maybe once all the characters have sort of been introduced,
mm-hmm.
and it's more, and maybe the voiceovers are more about what they're thinking about now instead of trying to provide, like, their backstory type of thing. There's, like, one coming up in tonight's episode where you get the whole history and, you know, they show, like, flashbacks and whatnot of one of the characters as a kid and stuff like that with him doing a voiceover. And I don't know, it just sort of...
it pulled you out of the plot.
You're in the middle of this gritty investigation where they're looking for who shot the
Antonio.
Superintendent's driver and stuff and all this other things going on around it. And then you stop for this flashback and voiceover of this one character that, I don't know, I think they could do better.
See, more, yeah, it can be less choppy in pulling out of this.
At learning how the characters, learning about them by... you know, seeing them interact or whatever. Just the rest of what they've got going, I think you can let it speak for itself.
That's true.
But the other thing with the multiple is you're used to, you either have like the omnipotent narrator that sort of knows everything that's going on, mm-hmm. or you have a specific character that does the narration, and maybe that character changes from episode to episode, like mm-hmm. what perspective the episode is coming from or something like that. But when there's four different voiceovers from four different characters in an episode, it is kind of strange.
It's a little jarring.
I do applaud them for doing something that's not, you know, trying something that you don't normally see, but I don't think that it's working as well as the rest of the story is.
I also have kind of gravitated towards cop dramas this season for whatever reason. I'm enjoying, you know, Detroit 187 and Blue Bloods. So maybe I'm turning a new leaf and I enjoy cop dramas. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting old and I watch CBS for cop dramas. And
well, I think this, kind of like Blue Bloods, in a sense that it has more of an ongoing story than just whatever they're investigating.
Yeah, that's true.
And I like that more than the sort of Law and Order style of...
right.
Everything finishes and over time you might get little bits and pieces of these different characters or whatever, but it's not really about them.
So hopefully we talked enough to convince them. I don't know. We may have talked enough to be like, we're never watching the Chicago Code again.
Well, the only, I think my favorite cop shows and probably the only one I watch is Southland. So as someone who watches
Southland too. I really do watch
Chicago Code.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's maybe not quite as gritty.
All right.
Yeah.
As,
yeah.
Cause that's like, almost documentary style, almost. But I think it's definitely closer, you know, to that than to the straight-up procedural type of...
Exactly.
I might have to give it another shot, then. I might have to record tonight's episode.
Yeah. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Excellent. So, moving on to talk about a little lighter subject, Glee.
Yeah.
Season 2, Episode 12, Silly Love Songs. Okay. I have said this a million times. I will say it a million more times. If you are watching Glee so that you can go on Twitter afterwards to say, I hate Glee, stop watching Glee. Now, if you are watching Glee and you have problems with it, that's fine. But overall, you still like the show, that's fine. If you don't like the show, don't watch it. That said, I rather enjoyed this episode compared to the Super Bowl episode. And I'm one of those people that I'm just watching Glee. I don't care about character flaws and continuity that kind of goes out the window. I just enjoy it. And I think the show was well done.
I'm probably in the in one of the people that like Glee but have problems with it.
Yeah.
But not really just problems with it, but more in that I probably don't love it as much as other people do. But like you said, if I didn't like Glee, I probably wouldn't watch it. I really look forward to watching it. I love, you know, the songs. There are some episodes that I like more than others. For example, I actually liked the Super Bowl episodes better than this one. But but yeah, there are things that I don't like as much, or says, you know, everybody has their own tastes, and sometimes I think they go a little too silly. But overall, I think it's such a fun show, and it makes me happy when I watch it, and I think that's the point. So I agree. If it's not your thing, then just don't watch it.
Exactly. And, there's a channel changer. There's plenty of other stuff on. I mean, go join the millions of people watching NCIS, whatever. Glee is...
NCIS is awesome, though. It's a good show. Not that I watch it on a regular basis, but it's...
I don't watch that. But I think it's because I've never really seen it, and I have an aggression towards Jethro, because Jethro. But I'm sure it's a show I can catch on USA any hour of the day.
You'd be surprised, Emery. You'd be surprised.
I know. My brother loves this show so much, and I'm just like, I think I'm so resistant to it. I don't know. Anyway.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Well, I thought this episode of Glee was really good. And such, like, 180 degrees from the Super Bowl episode. You kind of expected the Super Bowl episode to be a spectacle.
Yeah.
But to me, so much of it didn't work that to come back and the very next episode be quiet, you know, low-key, but still fun and, you know, to watch, and had some more good character moments and stuff like that inside the episode. That I just enjoyed the episode so much more that I wish you can't, you know, not every episode can be, you know, the exact same, obviously, but...
Yeah, they don't know how to do that.
If they could hit this type of episode a little more often, then, like, what, I think this would be, like, twice the season that they've done it. And that's, what, in 12 episodes, that's, you get episodes that are considered, you know, like, the best that they've done.
Well, I mean, the very nature of describing a show as the best you've done is there can only be, like, one or two. Like, that, to me, why everybody complains, you know, oh, that Glee wasn't very good. Sure. I mean, you look at a show like Modern Family, they have episodes that are not good. They just do. It happens. Even the best of shows have bad shows, so.
I don't know. For some reason, I just think that they have such a talented cast and stuff, and that when you see an episode that I liked as much as this one, it just seems like they could hit that note more, more often, than not everything has to be so outrageous all the time to tell a good story.
Sandy, is there a specific reason you like the Super Bowl episode? Like, is that, I didn't have a problem with it. I thought that, you know, it was a fine episode, but I preferred this week's. But was there something specific between the two that you preferred Sunday's?
Yeah, because I haven't heard a whole lot of people say anything positive about.
You know, probably because one of the reasons I love Glee so much is because of the songs, and I just like the Thriller songs. Probably that's, I just like that better, and I just like the songs overall in that episode better than Silly Love Songs. But I loved Silly Love Songs too. I'm not saying that I didn't like it. I'm just saying that I just thought the Super Bowl episode was a good one too.
Yeah. Oh, that makes perfect. I mean, yeah, I'm one of those people that Super Bowl episode wasn't, you know, the best, like Jason says, not the best they've ever done, but I'm certainly not going to say it's, like, a horrible episode or anything like that. What I loved about Silly Love Songs, too, is that it kind of brought you back to things we were missing, like the slumber party with Mercedes and Rachel and Kurt. Like, they are friends, and even though he goes to a different school, they're still friends, and I don't know, it just kind of gave you more, like you said, Jason, more character stuff, more... which you can have a great loud episode, have great music, have big, you know, episodes. The next episode can be a great character episode. And then maybe next week they once again have a big performance. It's just the nature of a show that involves musical numbers.
Yeah, well, I think that I prefer when they, I don't know, when they mix it a little better where I think there's people that, you know, sort of enjoy the music and the singing and stuff like that, and could care less whether they were telling the story or not. And then I think there's people on the other side that are just like, there was absolutely no story in this episode. And they like the characters more, the character dynamics and stuff like that that's going on. And so when you get an episode that's just totally performance-based music, they tend to not like it. And for me, I tend to like the episodes that seem to be more in the middle. And when the music helps the story, you know, instead of they wanted to do these seven songs this week, or they wanted to do all Madonna songs or whatnot.
Right.
They have songs that fit and help tell the story, help tell you how the characters are feeling. That, to me, when they hit that note, whether it's with outrageous performances or with more low-key performances, I don't care about that. I just care about whether the two things sort of mesh together. The other thing about just a little thing that bothers me with the Warblers is, does anybody else sing?
Or they that just bothers me a lot.
Or are they just a bunch of backup singers?
That bothers me a lot.
I get the Gap performance. Obviously, he's going to take center stage on that.
Right.
That makes total sense. But every other performance is him singing. And then he has to go to them and ask if they can do this performance outside the school. And, you know, he's like a junior member of their glee club and stuff like that. And so you're just like, how does he end up with a solo with them humming behind him every time? I don't get that.
Every time. Every time.
But then again, do we really care about any of the other people? Except
you would like to. No. You would think that maybe they might even feature Kurt occasionally or something like that.
Well, Kurt's still a junior member. He's not getting solo.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Unless he's singing.
Obviously, it doesn't matter in this show, so. But anyways, that's just a little thing that within the show, you're just like, come on, somebody else there.
Yeah.
Not even like a whole song, but somebody's got to come out and sing something at some point.
I think about it every time I see a Warbler song. Not that I have a problem with it. I don't necessarily understand the love for Darren Criss that everybody seems to have, because people are like obsessed with him, and I think he's a perfectly fine singer. I think he's letting Glee go to his head, whatever. But I just think every time he's singing, I'm like, okay, I get the point. He's the only Warbler we really are supposed to care about besides Kurt. But do they need to drive that home by having him sing everything? I don't know. So, I'm sure it's going to continue that way.
Okay, I don't even know who the actor is. Is he like a singer? Or is he just
I thought he was just an actor because he was on the dreadful television series Eastwick with my arch nemesis, Rebecca Romijn. And I thought he was just playing. I didn't know he was a singer. But then he gets cast in the role, and then everybody's in love with him, and now he's doing, like, sold-out free performances at the Grove or whatever. And he's just like, I don't know. It went faster than I think the Glee hype did. And I don't know. It's just weird to me that all of a sudden he's this huge name. I don't. Who knows? What do I know?
Well, I didn't even realize he was anything else than just in Glee, so... See, you taught me something.
Excellent. We're going to talk Glee until it's dead, so I think it's time to move on. Let's talk, this is a show I'm not caught up on, but I really don't care about, so I probably won't get caught up on for a while. Parenthood, Season 2, Episode 15, Just Go Home. I have no idea what's happening on the show, because I don't think I've watched anything but one episode this year, so please feel free to discuss.
I was really in love with the show in Season 1. Season 2, I'll be honest, at the beginning I almost gave up on it because I just thought it was a little silly. I'm liking it more now, but mostly because of the Alex and Hattie storyline. So it goes in and out for me. Some storylines I just find very silly and I just want to hit the characters in the head and just throw up, you know. And then there are other stories that I just pull me back in and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm on the Parenthood bandwagon again. So I like the show. I do, but it goes in and out for me.
Yeah.
But so far, I'm up to date, so I watch it I think it's on Tuesday. Every Tuesday, I'm on my front of my TV, Parenthood. All right, let's do this. But what do you think, Jason? Do you like it? Or
I really like it. I don't understand sort of why more people aren't watching it other than there's a gazillion other things on that are just as good at the same time on the same night. But I don't know. I think it has a great cast. I think they do, for the most part, I think they tell interesting stories that come off feeling a little more realistic than your average family drama sometimes. Even when they do something silly, there still seems to be something more to it than, like, something like Brothers and Sisters, everything goes off the deep end.
That show, everything goes off the deep end.
And so this is more, the interaction seems truer to what a big family like that might be. I like the storylines that they're telling. I think the whole thing with the parents' reaction to their daughter dating Alex was, I think that just felt real, and they did such a good job with that storyline.
How are they handling it? Is it age? Is it his alcoholism? Is it the race? Like, how are they?
It was that he's 19 and she's 16, and that he's an alcoholic in AA,
right,
and that he has his own place.
Mm.
It was really more about that type of stuff, and them worrying about their daughter growing up too fast,
right,
than anything about, you know, his race. They tried to throw that out there, but they made it obvious that wasn't the what was going on. And I think the Alex character is a very interesting character.
Played by an amazing guy. Gotta love Vince.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan is the best.
Well, and he's showing up in all kinds of stuff. I saw him in something else recently, too.
He was in Lie to Me as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. He did. That's so I think the whole character is really interesting. That whole storyline has been really good. I'm not sure that I totally buy the resolve of it.
Right.
You know, last night.
Wait, what happened? Who knows if I'll ever got up?
Well, she had, like, left and was moved in with her grandparents when she wasn't allowed to date him.
Mm.
But then he had the integrity not to see her unless she had the okay from her parents.
Ah.
But yet, she wouldn't go home until... And so it was this going around where nobody was winning. And so finally she goes home. And then at the same time, they end up letting her date him, but with some rules. And I didn't totally buy that would have all happened, like, just because she came home that night, that they would have switched so much. They were switching over time. You could see, especially him, you know, coming around to that. I don't know. It seemed like there should have been maybe a little bit in before they're just like, oh, yeah, okay, you can date him now.
Mm.
But overall, I think the story worked really well. I mean, they had some great stuff for characters dealing with all the different things in there.
Wasn't John Corbett in this episode?
I was just going to say that. What did you think of him?
Didn't somebody else play the father, like, in the first season?
Yes.
For,
like, and then it was like, we want to actually turn the father into an actual potential character, so we're gonna put a face on him that, you know.
He was doing the guy who was playing the guy, the dad, got another show and wasn't available. And then, so they were going to write the character, but then they were like, okay, why don't we write the character? Why don't we rewrite it and give it more to do than just, you know, come back or whatever. And then it ended up being John Corbett.
I always like him. He's good. And I think that's another interesting storyline to play with the kids feeling for their dad and him maybe wanting to try and get back into their lives after being a screw-up most of the time that she had to get them away from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just think they do really well with all these types of stories. They balance such a huge cast pretty well. I also really like the storyline with Crosby and
Jasmine.
And Jasmine, that he finally, like, you know, he may have stepped a little too far in getting upset at what's going on. But he finally showed sort of a little bit of a backbone in the storyline, and I think that's an interesting story, too. I think they do a lot of these different stories really well, and the whole idea, I like the part where he's just like, wait, our wedding's when now? Oh, we moved it to, he's like, and you were going to tell me when? You know, type of, and that everything just built up in that episode to... that he even, you know, overstepped maybe in his reaction. And the whole scene with the minister at the church.
Oh, that was...
And how she had the answer to, like, everything, and he was like, And then even when he would start to say something, she would just answer for him. They had a lot of fun with that. And I think it puts them because everything has sort of been going really smoothly.
Yeah, everything, even her living in, like, a different country, and they still are fine.
That they needed to put in some sort of drama into the storyline.
I think it was necessary drama, because I think it just kind of decided to get married and didn't think, you know, did everything else around them. And I thought I really liked the fight scene. I thought it was finally, you know, some more drama.
Yeah, but overall, I just don't understand why more people aren't watching, just because...
You would think with the cast that they have, they would... But then I think about it, the cast that they have never really had a huge... Well, I mean, Coach did, you know, 15 years ago. But Gilmore Girls wasn't high-rated, and Dirty Sexy Money, his, you know, Peter Krause certainly wasn't, and Six Feet Under was high-rated for HBO, but not necessarily for network TV.
Well, they've all been on something. They're all pretty recognizable.
Yeah.
Even some of the smaller cast members or whatever, you've seen them on... So I don't really know why, other than nobody watches NBC. I don't know.
Well, it's just, it's also maybe not the happiest of shows. So maybe after an 8-hour day, you don't feel like waiting until 10 p.m. to watch this family drama, or it's always so depressing. And maybe that's
one of the... They usually have good outcomes, though, after a while. Everything, you know, stuff usually ends up working out, and they do have some fun episodes.
Also, maybe the fact that if people didn't start in season one, it's hard to kind of get caught up in season two and knowing everything that happened.
They do have a lot of background.
Because they do have such a large cast that to get used to who everybody is and how they're related and whatnot could be a little bit of a task. Yeah, I think it's sort of found it's where it's going to be in this season two. It's not going to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have it on after their highest rated show, that's kind of sad that the Biggest Loser is their consistently highest rated show.
They got less than a 1 last night. They had a low in 18-49. Their ratings was like a less than 1 share in 18-49 on Sunday night. Oh, NBC!
They're playing repeats of Harry's Law, which, while it gets a decent overall number, it does pretty low in the 18-49 to begin with. It's very CBS-esque in its demographic.
Yes. Anyway, that's Parenthood. More people should be watching, including me, who has every episode on her DVR, but just isn't watching.
Now on to a show that people should be watching, definitely. Most
Here
definitely
is,
should be watching.
I have to say, this I think is my favorite show currently on TV. Raising Hope, Season 1, Episode 12, Romeo and Romeo. In which Jimmy takes on a playdate. Hysterically funny.
This had two of the best written scenes.
I was dying. So we get, like, what, our three allotted viewings we can watch on Fox or whatever. And I watched all three. And then I've recorded it and have not deleted it. Jimmy picking up a guy at the store. Well, when he asks if he's tall and Sabrina does, is that a deal breaker? Like, no, but it helps. Like, just absurd. And then the recorder, voicemail, video camera, mama picking up the phone scene. I was crying. I was laughing. The messages that he was leaving, like, we're both dads and dads shouldn't be sad. So, like, and he just starts rhyming. Oh my God.
I like the first message that he starts to leave and it's not going well. And
then we have her in the background. You didn't say your name.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's like, he's like, you didn't say your name. And so he goes, this is Jimmy. And his dad's like, no, you could have hung up. And nobody would have known. But how great was, you know, press one and he goes,
and
it doesn't work. Why do we still have a rotary phone?
I love, though, when Bert tries to sing it. He's like, oh, I almost got it. Yeah.
I think it was he got a 7. Like, 7 is not a...
He's not a valid number. Oh, so close. The cast is amazing, people. People that are watching the show, the cast is amazing. What's great about the show, too, is that the guest cast is amazing. Like, they bring in this cast that's just the complete opposite of the chances. And, you know, wealthy, and, you know, they both, you know, they got pregnant in high school too, but they totally took the right direction compared to what Virginia and Burke did. and just so good. I can't even form sentences because the show makes me laugh so much that I don't do it justice by repeating their phrase. Like, I don't.
There were so many good lines in the episode, and then, but before the two families meet for dinner, and they're each having dinner at their own places, but the way they edited the scene together, where you get a little bit of each person's story as they're talking, but overall, it tells, it actually tells this really funny sounding story. That right. is one of the best written, I mean, to write something like that, where you're writing something that you could fill in the blanks and you're only hearing half of each story, but they still sound real. Like right. you could still figure out what it was that they were talking about, but to overall, the lines go one into the other to create this completely different story just based on the way that they edited the scene together.
But it ends both with, tell them that story, you'll bore them to death, basically. Yeah. Like, yeah, they'll hate us if you tell them that story. Martha Plimpton is amazing. I love her on, you know, when she was on The Good Wife. I guess she was on last season because she hasn't been on this season because of the show. Like, I just, it's so nice to see her popping back up. I didn't buy her as the hot older woman on Seventh Heaven. Sorry, Martha Plimpton. Didn't buy it. But I love her now. I think she's just, oh my God. I just can't say enough. And episodes like this where they use Cloris Leachman sparingly with fixing the bike and, you know, fixing the phone line in Jimmy's room and things like that. That, to me, is the perfect use of her. It's kind of like on Glee where they overuse Sue too much. Sometimes they over, like, I'm worried they're going to get to the point where it's going to be too much of Mama because of Cloris Leachman. But
yeah,
because
the stuff like her picking up the phone and trying to figure who's on the phone.
I'm on the phone.
That whole episode, I think it might be probably be in my top two or three or top two episodes of the season.
It's definitely high on my list. Definitely. The Christmas episode, this episode.
The Christmas episode was amazing.
I think the next two episodes are amazing as well. The yes. upcoming two episodes. Yes. People should definitely. For me, Raising Hope is the best new show we had this fall. I mean, hands down. So absolutely. If you're not watching, you should be watching.
Yeah, it's, well, it's by far the best comedy.
When yes. it was rewarded with the pickup right away, I was so happy that it was the first yes. one because it deserves it because it's the best show that, you know, it was the best new show. And the next two episodes, like Sandy said,
I was just happy that we weren't going to have to worry about another,
exactly, you
know, like Better Off Ted or something like that. Like, oh, are they going to pick it up? Are they going to give it a chance? I'm glad that they are.
Yes, me too.
Definitely a show that you should get on board. Now, the show that follows it, not so much, but...
Well, that's already been canceled, so... Oh, wait, no, not that one. The other one's already been canceled. The new one hasn't been canceled, yeah. to give it time. So, that is Raising Hope, and I think that everybody needs to be watching it. We all think you need to be watching it, so... If you don't like comedy, maybe you don't want to watch it, but... if you do like comedy, then...
Yeah, it's just a really fun show in that it's like watching an old TGIF sitcom, except...
Right, but not absurd.
Except that the family is, like, completely... yeah.
You don't think the Tanners were insane?
Well, they're insane in a different way. It's like
right.
the episodes play out the same, where they're sort of like a message or everything
right.
builds to, like...
They hide a message in yeah. a very well-done comedy.
Yeah, and...
It kind of catches you off guard, like, oh, I was affected by that. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, you're not expecting that to have, like, a dad sits down with one of the young Tanner girls, and they talk about what they've learned type of thing. But it kind of has that feel to a lot of episodes at the end of it, where there is sort of a little something that you learn about family or whatever is going right. on. But it's just completely wacky, funny, and cleverly funny,
yes.
you know, leading up to it.
So that's Raising Hope. Moving on to Bones, Season 6, Episode 13, The Daredevil in the Mold.
Before we say anything about how the episode ends, I just want to say that I thought this episode was terrible. Having nothing to do with the Booth Bones Hannah storyline, for whatever reason, the rest of the episode just didn't work. The normally morose guy on the drinking the tea and all that stuff,
yeah.
I don't know, a lot of the episode just didn't work. And then they got to this ending.
That kind of felt like it was tacked on from another episode.
Yeah, well, it felt just as lame as the end of the episode where Bone says, no, I can't be with you or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I can't marry you because I'm not the marrying kind. And you're like, well, that's just as lame a reason as I'm a brainiac. And I don't think that, you know, whatever.
Which I think is the point that they actually might be trying to make for Bones, or for Booth. Because, you know, his first girlfriend, he knew she would not marry him even when they had a kid. With Bones, he kind of knew that she was this scientist who didn't approach it like that. With Hannah, it sounded like he knew going in that she wasn't going to marry him, but he keeps trying. I think David was fantastic in this episode, and we haven't really gotten to see him do that. He gets to be kind of the charming and cheeky guy who gets to make the jokes and be the funny one, and he's really pissed, so he gets to kind of take it out.
Yeah, inside of what I thought was overall a terrible episode, him at the bar at the end was outstanding. His whole spiel of,
yeah,
what is the deal with the, what is it about me? What am I putting out there that...
I don't watch Bones, but funny enough, I caught that last scene of Bones with David Boreanaz in the bar, and I just thought it was such a good scene. I thought, why don't I watch this show? This is, like, really good.
Right, and so, you're lucky in a way that you didn't watch the whole episode, because maybe that scene was really quite good. And for a character up until the point, Catherine Winnick was just horrific. She didn't have chemistry with anybody. She was lacking something. She held her own in the goodbye scene. So I'm glad that she's gone. I'm glad we're going to be done with her. But a lot of the fans that I saw, they were like, well, why didn't, you know, they get together? Why didn't Booth run back to Bones? I'm like, do you really want that? Because then you'll have a character who only ran back to Bones because Hannah broke his heart. Like, that is not how it should happen. I just feel like this episode had to get out of the way, and now it's out of the way, and hopefully the rest of the season will kind of pick up. I feel like all season, Booth and Bones have had, like, a tension that they never had in the first 5.5 seasons, you know? So maybe now that Hannah's out of the way, they both kind of know that they love each other and they're not going to acknowledge it for a while. I think we'll get back to normal and we'll start to see the Booth and Bones that we loved. And hopefully the show will kind of kick back into gear, but I'm with you, Jason. The episode was choppy. I barely paid attention to it. I don't really understand why it had to happen, but I do understand why it had happened. I don't know. I just think that hopefully they can get back on track and Hart can focus on this instead of other things that he's trying to write, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, because overall, most of the season's been good. I mean, they've done the normal sort of weird cases. You know, I mean, this had a weird case, but it just, everything around it, the investigation didn't seem, I don't know, everything just didn't really, the whole
didn't
episode
click.
Didn't flow right. Quite right or something. And
yeah, wasn't there a Cam relationship story in there too? Like, since when do we care about that?
Well, they're trying to give everybody a little bit of some outside storyline besides just whatever
I guess
the case of the week is. The thing is that they do it, that is one of the weird things about the show, is that they, you sort of like forgot. You're like, I think didn't she did meet this guy. I guess they have been dating.
Yeah, it's
now
her fake
daughter's
gynecologist. Or
something. And you're just like, it seems like all of a sudden it comes back out like it should have been mentioned or something somewhere along the line, you
right.
know? That, I mean, obviously in a show like this or in any show, the characters live even when you're not, you know, you don't see everything that
right.
happens.
Their lives don't shut down.
There's time that takes place between, you know, episodes and stuff like that. And you're basically on a show like this, you're following them when they're working on a case, and they're not always working on a case, and so obviously they're doing other things and stuff like that, but it just seems like it would be mentioned someplace or something. It wouldn't just be so like out of,
I don't know. I give Bones too much credit every time. I keep saying like, oh, I'm done with this show, I keep watching. Unlike like How I Met Your Mother, I'm done with this show, I've stopped. Vampire Diaries, I'm done with this show, I've stopped. Bones, for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it's my love of David Boreanaz's father that keeps me glued to the screen, but who knows?
Some of it, that has to do with, it's in season 6 somewhat, and sometimes sometimes you feel like you've stuck with something so long that even if it's not quite working for you anymore, you keep hoping that it'll turn around or go back to where it was.
Right.
And you spent so much time with these people, you know, these characters, that you want to see where they end up, you know, and so I think it has something to do with that.
So that's Bones. So We're going to talk a little bit about NBC Thursday comedies because we haven't really talked about them a lot. And I'm interested to kind of hear some thoughts. I watch 5 of the 6 of them. I do not watch Outsourced, even though, and I said this on Twitter the other day, literally the smartest person I've met and have been friends with for about 15 years said something to me. We were at a Super Bowl party, and he said, oh, you know what show I'm really into? We were talking about, like, all the shows that I watch, and he was talking about the site. I really, really like Outsourced. And I just looked at him like, I have, like, a completely different view. I don't know how to handle that information.
Oh, Amory, I'm going to disappoint you, because I like Outsourced,
too. You do like
so.
It? You
I
like
do.
It? Okay. Well,
I watch it every
I'm not sure why I should be watching it. Like, everybody says, oh, it's funny, but, like...
It's funny.
Is it just... Do they lay off the Indian jokes? Now, here's why I say that. I was so offended with how, like, mean they were. And, like, I don't know. It just felt... I don't know. It felt like coming from a different place. Like, you make fun of a nerd for being a nerd. It felt too, like, it hit somebody in the gut with these jokes. And I'm not even, you know, I'm not an Indian person, but I was offended for them.
I think they've done better at it not coming off so, I don't know, so badly. They still play...
Everybody does say that once the pilot was over, like, it did get better.
Do a little bit better. I still think overall that it's kind of a waste of an idea in that... They could do so much more with it than just these silly little bits that they do. But they play a lot of off of him not understanding their culture type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the thing to me is I'm not sure how much longer you can do that.
Right.
After a while, you got to figure that he did finally learn something about where he went. It's a little troublesome in the beginning that obviously it sort of happens really quickly and whatnot. But you would think once... you did accept a job to go over there and run a call center, that you might take the time to learn about the place that you are. Because how many more times can, you know, especially after a season, you know, if he's been there, whatever type of time frame you want to give, if he's been there a year after the first season or something like that, are you really going to buy that he has no idea about some cultural custom the next down the road? I just think that the stuff that they've done, while they've gotten better at it, and the cast works better together now, I just think that it's, I don't know where, how much longer they can do just that same thing, and it continue to be somewhat funny.
Hmm. I don't know. I keep saying I'll go back and check it out. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll make the effort this week and just watch an episode and see
what do you guys think of doing the 3-hour comedy vlog?
I mean, I have no problem with it. I think it's a lot of stuff to watch, but I'm watching the first 5.5 hours of it. Not 5.5 hours.
2.5 hours
of it.
2.5 hours.
5 shows. My math is off. It's a long day.
Are you getting, like, super extended episodes out there in
exactly.
Philly?
I do always say that I feel like I'm watching different TV than people are watching. I get the long hours.
The East Coast feed is something else, I take it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I don't know. I don't have a problem with it. I'm loving Community. Feel free to make fun of me, but I'm enjoying Perfect Couples just fine. I think The Office this week was hysterically funny. I think that it's got its ups and downs, and it should end when Michael Scott leaves, but it's not going to, but I digress. I think Parks and Rec is on fire, and I think 30 Rock is just doing the 30 Rock thing. Like, we watch them all here. In fact, we watch them all instead of Grey's Anatomy. We don't watch Grey's anymore. And Thursdays at my house were always invented because, not invented, I mean... they existed, but Thursdays in my house happened because we were watching Grey's Anatomy.
Wow, you didn't even have Thursdays at your house before.
Nope, I went
before
right
Grey's Anatomy.
Friday.
There was no Thursdays at Amory's house.
It does feel like that.
I like,
what do you think?
I like that they have a full 3 hours of half-hour shows because I feel sometimes you don't want to commit to that 1 hour show, and you just
exactly.
feel like watching a half hour. You don't have to think about it. I like Perfect Couples too. I think that last episode was really funny. It might not be the best comedy I've ever seen, but it's enjoyable, and it gives me a break from the Southland episodes, which are really draining, you know. So,
and I think that's why
I like that.
I think that's why we watch it here too. You make a good point, because an hour long episode, you need to focus for, like, 48 minutes or something. With a comedy, you get 20 minutes and you can break it up. You can get up and go get food from the living room, even though in my apartment you can see the TV from the dining room and the kitchen, whatever. But that makes, you know, like, you have some time then. You can, and it gives you a lot of time to not force people to be here at 8 o'clock to start right away, because you want to get all of your shows in so you can get them done really fast without commercials. I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Like, how, if you had to rank me putting Outsource at the bottom, not out of not watching it, because I'll go back to it, but because I don't watch it. How would you rank, like, what your order of shows, if you could watch them in a certain order, what would your order be?
Like, from... Yeah, like, best to worst.
So, like, what you want to watch first, what you really don't want to watch, what you watch as last.
I'd go...
It's the hard one. It's the hard one. I probably should have written this down.
I'd go Community, 30 Rock, The Office, Parks and Rec, Outsource, Perfect Couples. And not necessarily because Parks and Rec isn't necessarily better sometimes than... it's, some of it is due to 30 Rock and The Office... I've been watching them since they started, and they've been on for quite some time, so...
So you feel you need to give them more credit in your...
I still like them, so I'm not going to just drop them off, you know. I'd probably watch them first, then... I tend to watch them just in the order that they're... You know, I watch them on demand, but I watch them in the order that they play on TV, right, for whatever reason.
What about you, Sandy? What would you think?
Yeah, I tend to watch them in the sort of in the order that they are, but... probably Community is number one. I don't watch Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, although 30 Rock, once in a while, I'll catch an episode, but it's not on my regular schedule, so probably
right.
It would be Community, probably Outsourced after that, but I think I watch Perfect Couples first because Outsourced is so late in the night, so I'll probably just end up watching that, and then The Office would be last because I'm not as in love with it as I used to be.
Right, I think a lot of people are feeling that.
Yeah.
I mean, we watch them in order just because, exactly, like by nature of the order of what they're on.
What about you, Emery?
My first is Parks and Rec. I think that show is one of the smartest comedies on TV. It's my favorite, besides Raising Hope. Parks and Rec, The Office, Community. Well, I don't know. No, I think I might go Community second. Parks and Rec, Community, The Office. Like Jason said, and like you said, Sandy, like more out of because I've been watching it, but it's not like my favorite anymore. I think I would put Perfect Couples before 30 Rock too, because I like 30 Rock, I just don't need it. Like, I watch it, but I'm kind of interested in seeing where Perfect Couples is going, because I feel like it's getting better every episode, so I'll always watch 30 Rock, but don't necessarily need to, and then Outsource just because I don't watch it. But let's talk about Perfect Couples for a minute, because...
I only like one couple on there.
And why? Like, why don't you like it? Like, why don't you like the couples?
It's, like, too over-the-top with the so-called, they think they're perfect couple... And then the other one is too over-the-top, flighty, break up, get back together, whatever. But the couple in the middle, I could watch them. I wish it was called Perfect Couple, and it was just watching them. I think they're both great. But everything else that goes on around it is sometimes it's too much.
I tend to agree with Jason that, for me, the middle couple is probably my favorite as well. The other two are... a little too extreme sometimes, and if they weren't seen as much as that middle couple, I probably would enjoy the show even more. But overall, like I said, I don't adore the show, but it's enjoyable.
I think this week's episode was the first week where I kind of thought, maybe this is a show I will watch every week. I'm not sure how it's doing in the ratings. I don't know if it's doing great, but I agree that they're kind of over the top. Everybody knows my feelings on Olivia Munn. I can't stand her. I don't know why she's acting. Anyway, but this week, they kind of switched it up a little bit where it wasn't as focused on coupley, coupley, coupley. Yes, there was, like, the jealousy topic, but it was, I don't know, kind of, you got to see them break up the couples a little bit, but not fight, not break up, but, like, have a story where the girls were together and the guys were together, but it wasn't competing against each other. And it was, I don't know, I think it's just a better, like, a more well-rounded episode where everything's covered.
I agree with you, Emery. I think this episode was probably one where I thought, oh, I might add this to my regular schedule. This was a really good episode, yeah. So I agree with you. It was a good one.
I think whole triple couple thing with couples in different stages of relationship, I think that's a good idea for a sitcom. And obviously Hollywood does too, because they keep doing it. But so far nobody's done it, like, they haven't done it really well. Like, Rules of Engagement is solidly funny.
Another show I don't watch.
But there's nothing special about it. Traffic Light, they're trying to do it with, and it's... It's pathetically unfunny. And then Better With You.
Oh, Better With
that
You.
That is, I don't know, it's too, I like a lot of the people on the show, but it's like, I don't know, they do too much of, hey, look how different these three right. couples are. And they sort of hit these sort of lame things that a new couple together and a couple that's been together for a while and a couple that's been together forever, they hit the same sort of stereotypical joke every time
right.
on it, and it got old in the first episode.
Right, exactly.
But I think that whole idea of couples in different stages and different ones learning from the other ones, there's a good idea in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope one of these, you know, finally hits on, I think you could do something well with that. But so far, not so much.
We'll see. We'll hope. So that's kind of my thoughts on the day, TV, lately. Is there anything else we wanted to add, or we've pretty much covered a lot? And my dad broke his foot, and I have to go hang out with him.
Oh, no.
He wants me to tell people that he was kickboxing, but he wasn't. He was walking down the driveway, and he stepped off his driveway and fell. He's lucky he only broke a foot bone with him. He's terrible on crutches, too. My dad has had 12 knee surgeries in his life, and he is the worst person ever on crutches. I don't know how he's done it. Oh my god. Crazy. Anyway, I want to thank Sandy for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. It was lots of fun.
Yes, and we can have you back.
Thoughts.
Like to have her back in the future as we continue our guest star rotations, as it were. And that's pretty much it. And next week,
Ray will be back, so...
The prodigal daughter returns!
Hey!
Next week, Ray will stop by for a visit.
Yeah.
And then, Ray and I will fly to Los Angeles. We're not flying together, because obviously we're from different parts of the country, but you get my point. And, yeah, so, excitement is all around. If you want to find us, you know where we are. We're at the website, tvtimes3.com.
Spell it all out.
We're on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes. Our website pretty much details everywhere you need to find us. Like, you need to get a hold of us. That's where you need to go. We'll have everything, you know, contacts for Sandy up on our site, too, so you can track her down if you need her.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, for emergency contacts. If you need to get me, here's where I'll be. So our music today, as always, was provided by IODA PromoNet. The song, I'm going to lose it. The song is TV Party by the Asylum Street Spankers from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. Did I forget anything?
No, I think you got it.
I don't have it written down. So that's, I think that's it for us.
Well,
this is
fun.
How every episode ends. It's just like, it's a start off strong.
It just sort of dies out.
Yeah.
It fades out long before we fade it out.
I really need to go because my dad's calling me now. He cracks me up.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. So nice to have you.
Yeah, so have fun this week watching TV.
Yes, you too.
All
and make
right.
sure you watch Chicago Code and let me know how it was. And I will watch Outsourced and let everybody know my thoughts. Excellent. Thank you.
Guys.
All right. Bye.
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 We sit glued to the TV set all night.
And every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
Right.
We got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Whether it's with outrageous performances or with more low-key performances, I don't care about that. I just
right.
care about whether the two things sort of mesh together. And somebody typing?
Yes.
Because it's really loud.
I'm barely touching the keys. Barely. And my arms are so far away from the microphone that I don't know how it's making that much noise, but I can stop. Oh, I love it.
But anyways.
Is somebody typing? Yes, I am.